we're back with What's Ailing America, where the answer today is cancer. I see we have some callers on the line. Pat, I'll get to you in a moment. I just want to finish what I'm talking about, and then I'm going to take the other caller quickly if he has a question, and then Pat will be with me for the rest of the show. But I just want to continue with these carcinogen lists that was right in the medical journal article that I have. And not to scare you folks, because you see, all you need to do to reverse cancer is detoxify, alkalinize, uncorrupt your immune system, take things to boost your immune system. There's all kinds of wonderful things out there, including B17, which is Laetrile. Why do you think they went after people that promoted Laetrile as a way to deal with cancer? Because it works. And but it's just one of the things you need to do. You have to detoxify. That's very important. But let me get back to some of these industrial agents associated with cancer. Coke oven emissions, this is in coke oven workers. Dichlorobenzene and its salts, this is in pigment makers and polyurethane workers. 4-dimethylaminoazobenzene, which is in research workers. Guess they're going to get what they deserve. There's all kinds of other chemicals. They're too long to even pronounce, but these are in all kinds of epoxy resins, polyurethane, foam workers, chemical synthesizers, dye makers, rubber workers, naphthalamine, which is in another one for research workers. We have, a lot of them are actually in being exposed in research workers, and many of them cause bladder and liver cancer. We have, vinyl chloride. Oh, that's a big one. That's something that's in the water of Long Island thanks to the Navy and Grumman leaching it into the Lloyd's Aquifer over very many years along with the pesticides. That's why so many women are getting breast cancer. We have all kinds of chemicals. But it was just amazing to me that they admitted that all these chemicals cause cancer. Actually, there's like 8 pages of them. And, of course, what is the one thing your doctor never does when you go in and you have cancer? Do they ever ask you your toxin exposure? Well, if you have lung cancer, they may ask you if you smoke. Other than that, that's pretty much it. And I just want to mention, it was so amazing. I don't know how many of you have cable TV or Dish. I watch a lot of television while I'm doing my work just to see what they're feeding the sheep. And starting last weekend, there was a show on the Lifetime Network, which they're still airing, called Living Proof. And this is a story about a doctor who created a breast cancer drug called Herceptin, which is an antibody treatment. And it was actually quite hysterical because they go through this whole story and show how this doctor, how hard it was for him to get this drug approved, and he knew it was going to work. And guess what, folks? I looked up Herceptin in a physician's desk reference, and guess what it says under carcinogenesis? Herceptin has not been tested for its carcinogenic potential. Now, this is true with all chemotherapy agents. As a matter of fact, all chemotherapy actually causes cancer. And I want to just let you know how chemotherapy started. The first drug used for cancer therapy, chemotherapy, was not originally intended for that purpose. It was mustard gas, used as a chemical warfare agent during World War I, and was studied further during World War II. A group of people accidentally exposed were later found to have very low white blood cell counts, so some minions said, let's give it to cancer people, cancer patients, and that's how chemotherapy began. So I hear the music. We're going to another break. We'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is cancer. I'm going to be just talking a little bit more about the viral aspect, and then I'm going to bring on Leon, and then we'll have Pat give us some more information about his research. I want to also mention, in terms of chemotherapy, since they know that chemotherapy is actually killing people, not to mention causing secondary cancers down the road, there's also some minion that came up with this idea of using insulin potentiation therapy, where they're giving insulin to people that are taking chemotherapy, saying that the chemo can be decreased in dosage because the insulin opens up the cells more readily to the chemotherapy, and that this is going to kill the cancer cells with less chemo. Of course, it does the same thing to normal cells, so, you know, apparently there's nobody asking these minions hard questions. But I just want to mention something very important in regards to the viral aspect. And this is something that you have to face, folks. I know it's ugly and you don't want to know this. But I do know this because I have about 8 years of documents from the Special Virus Cancer Program, the National Cancer Institute, talking about how they are making viruses to cause cancer. So it's not just that the injection of the viruses and vaccines corrupts the immune system, causing cancers that you have to grow, but it's also that they are creating viruses to cause cancer. And that's why when you hear about things such as cancer vaccines, it is totally insane. And there's all kinds of ways that they do this. As a matter of fact, this one document that I have, Progress Report Number 9, it actually talks about how almost all cases of breast cancer are due to viruses. Now, when was the last time you heard that on the mainstream media? And, of course, the reason is because they don't want you to know what they're really doing with all these mad scientists. As a matter of fact, in these documents, they talk about the National Cancer Institute, the Frederick Cancer Research Center. On October 18, 1971, President Nixon announced that the scientific laboratories at Fort Detrick would be converted to research on the causes, prevention, and treatment of cancer. One of the companies highly involved in this project was Litton Bionetics. One of the primary tasks to be initiated will be the large-scale production of oncogenic and suspected oncogenic viruses to meet research needs on a continuing basis. And they're going to enhance virus production of these oncogenic viruses, for which there are no effective protocols, because, of course, these are actually genetic triggers to cause you to get cancer. So this is actually admitted right in this book, and there's all kinds of, I mean, each one that I have is about 300 pages long. But very importantly, they actually talk in this particular document that I have here of the oncogenic effects of human and viral inoculi. Yes, inoculi, folks, that means vaccinations. They are actually studying, let's see, which group was studying this? Bionetics Research Laboratories, NIH grant 71-2025, investigations of viral carcinogenesis in primates. Why are they doing this, folks? Is it to cure cancer? I don't think so. It is to cause cancer. And why do you think we have so much cancer? It's because they're doing a very good job between all of the carcinogens that they're putting into the water, the air, the environment, that they're letting people be exposed to on the job without protecting them. I mean, OSHA is just another alphabet agency that does the opposite of what it's supposed to do in terms of protecting its workers. And I know Patrick Jordan has had personal experience with that corrupt agency, but now they're actually making viruses to cause cancer, folks, and that's what you have to realize. I also just want to encourage you quickly to get a very important article from the Townsend Letter for Doctors and Patients, December 1999, entitled Link Between Increasing Rate of Pediatric Cancers and Childhood Vaccines. And, in fact, you will learn from that article that no vaccine has ever been tested to see if it causes cancer, including the Gardasil vaccine. Why is that, folks? Because they know they cause cancer. The Gardasil vaccine is not in that article, but they talk about the rest. Stay tuned.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to...
And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is the big C. And we have Patrick in Illinois on the line, but before I bring him on, let's just see if Leon has a quick question or comment. Are you there, Leon?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a lady friend who still believes in the dominant paradigm system, and I'm having a hard time getting her to understand the depth and breadth of this. It's so large that people cannot wrap their head around it. That's the real problem, I think.
Well, and not only that, Leon, but let me just say, and I say this all the time, that people with a conscience cannot believe that there are such evil individuals that they would do these things on purpose. That's the problem as far as I'm concerned. Also, is that they say, well, how could they do these things? Because they're going to affect their own families as well. And that's how evil, evil is.
I'm having a hard time getting this through. Anyway, is there anything that's worthy as a milk substitute? Because soy has its problems also.
Yes. What I suggest to my clients, if you're going to have, like, breakfast cereal, although, you know, if it's out of a cardboard box, you might as well eat the cardboard, but things like oat bran milk, rice milk, things of that nature, almond milk, organic, of course, that's what I would use if I was you.
And I've been interested in, I've listened to Gary Null quite a bit, and I do eat fungus from time to time, and I'm wondering if it does help at all in battling the cancerous carcinogens.
Well, as I said, as far as I'm concerned, you must detoxify. You must be alkaline, and you must boost your immune system. Now, there is, word out there, people say that certain mushrooms do help to boost the immune system, but there's many other ways to go than mushrooms. And I must tell you, as far as I'm concerned, Gary Null is a disinformer. Not that he doesn't have some good information, but he is a mercury causes autism disinformer. So people that give out disinformation, you have to wonder what all of their information is and check things out for yourself.
And is it possible that when you do your show, you could set up a website where you could update with the different URLs that you're dealing with so that we can look into those also?
Well, most of the information that I gave out, for example, in today's show comes from my medical books and various journal articles that I have. What I do encourage you to do is sign up for my updates. They were hacked into months ago. I have a new webmaster now, and she's trying very hard to get them going again. Last I heard, it should be a week or two. But that's a very good suggestion. Once that happens, I will try to do that after the shows is send out updates of the URLs that I do refer to.
I was thinking of during the show, if possible, but that's another story.
Yeah.
After would be just fine to send us out an update right after the show.
Okay. I'll take that into consideration and do the best I can on that, okay?
I gather you're trying to move along.
Well, I want to bring Patrick Jordan on because he has researched the vaccine situation so well. As a matter of fact, he's going to be writing a section of the upcoming book that I'm working on. It's going to be the ultimate vaccine book, proving that this is a genocidal agenda. And he came up with some gold when he went Harvard data mining. So I want him to be able to share that with you as well. As far as your lady friend that won't open her eyes, all I can tell you, Leon, is that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But,
she's one of these nice, good liberal women who believes that, you know, the world is a good place. And
well, if she's going to be lining up for that bird flu vaccine, she's going to have a problem. So just do the best you can to share, you know, shows like this with her. Let her listen to the archives, you know. Tie her down to her chair and say, you must listen to this. This show and my show on antibiotics, as well as my show with Dr. Ott on the bird flu, are three very good ones that you could start out with, because the health issue is the most important as far as I'm concerned. If you don't have your health, you have nothing. And once you get sick, these people that are brainwashed with the whole insurance industry, then they get trapped into the medical mafia by their insurance plans.
One last quick question.
Yes.
Do you have a list of the cruciferous and alkaline foods that we should move towards and things to avoid, so that we could balance this up by avoiding certain things and introducing other aspects?
Well, as far as the alkaline aspect, a very good book that I recommend to my clients is called The pH Miracle by Robert Young, and he actually talks about alkaline foods, and it's a whole book full of them. So that is one resource I would give you. But as I said, it's just important, it is important to stay away from toxins and to detoxify. And that's one of the issues I'm going to be addressing in my book. There's just so much information
that
you need to know.
I'll talk to you via email then.
Okay, Leon. Thanks for calling.
Right.
Okay, are you there, Patrick?
Hi, Doc. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Excellent. I wanted to address Leon's concern, because this is something that I run into very frequently, because I'm around sick people all the time. Almost all of my friends that have had cancer are dead. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is just the reality of it. They all accepted and got treated. They're all dead. When you look at the statistics published by the CDC, which is actually the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, but they call themselves the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, so as to imply that they are controlling what diseases people have.
Well, it's actually the Centers for Disease Creation, but go ahead.
That works for me.
Go ahead.
When you look at their stats on lung cancer under treatment has a 15% survival rate, okay? And that they gauge that by if you live 5 years after treatment, which is just a ridiculous position to begin with. But if you reverse this, and this is how I used to lobby Congress before I discovered the entire government is corrupt, I used to lobby government by saying that under treatment, lung cancer has an 85% kill ratio.
Right.
Think
and
about
I just want to mention, in terms of that 5-year cure, the reason they give out cures after 5 years, and that's where the research stops, is because from their research they know that the chances of the chemo causing a secondary cancer after 5 years is very high. So that's why they do that. Sometimes chemo will shrink a tumor, especially lymphomas are shrinkable with chemo and radiation, but the cancer is going to come back because you just got loaded up with more carcinogens.
If you allow me to, I want to jump in here and give the listeners kind of a preview of what they can expect in the book. My contribution is a timeline.
Yes.
And what you had brought up was going all the way back to 1898. And let me take you to 2007 when Gardasil hit the television propaganda circuit. They said, cancer is caused by a virus. Who knew? And, of course, I'm screaming at the television because I did my timeline. Let me take you back in history. 1898, papillomatosis, they discovered, was transmissible. Okay? They didn't make the leap that the success of years will show, but we're going back to 1898. And you talked so fast I couldn't get any notes done. You said... was it 1898 there was no cancer until vaccination?
Well, I was just saying that in 1898, this document came out, published out of London, where these various doctors all stated that they'd never seen cancer before vaccinations, and only the vaccinated people had cancer.
I found that the date significant to be really, you know, beyond coincidence. Now, let me take you to 1899. They started to use x-rays to treat cancer. Now, I'm building up to a major point here.
Okay.
So, let's take it to 1903. Borel, this French researcher, he postulated that cancer was caused by a virus. I'm really building up here. 1908, it was proved beyond all doubt that fowl, meaning bird, leucosis virus was the causative agent of that cancer. 1908, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that viruses cause cancer. By 1915, they knew that even if you just rubbed coal tar on skin, you could cause cancer. Okay?
And let me just mention something about that, Patrick, because this is very important for people to know. All of you that are taking one aspirin a day as though it's a vitamin for your heart, take that aspirin, put it in a spoon, and put a lighter underneath it. And you will find what's left is coal tar. Coal tar is actually the basis for many drugs, and is a carcinogen, as Patrick just said.
I did not know that. I'm taking notes.
Check it out.
1936, cancer can be transmitted, hold on to your pantyhose, through mother's milk, and this is experiments in mice. It was called the mammary tumor something or other, and the father's sperm. This researcher Bittner demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that breast cancer in mice could be transmitted from mother to offspring. And when these monsters, and they are murderers because they know what they're doing. You said it right. These monsters know when they say, oh, it runs in the family. So that's implying you got bad breeding and bad genetics. This just demonic thing that they caused inside people's body is able to be spread by the very germ cells that, you know, promote the continuation of the race.
Exactly.
This is genocide. There is no other way to characterize it.
Yes.
And by 1940, I thought this was interesting because you brought up insulin, and I didn't quite understand the relationship until you told us about it. They were using insulin in 1940 to treat cancer. Just insulin itself. It was not in combination with anything else.
Hmm. They've been working on these little plans for a long time. And as I always tell people, put Henry Kissinger and Memo 200 into Google and read about the population reduction strategy. It's a national security issue, folks. Okay, I hear the music. I'll be right back with Patrick with more gold.
Each client.
And we're back with What's Failing America, where our answer today is cancer. And before you continue, Patrick, I just have to mention an article that was in the July 15, 2008 edition of Charlotte Observer on page 8A. Beset by cancer, Tasmanian devils breed younger. They are finding, as you said, a fatal and contagious cancer that is driving a change in the marsupial's life cycle. And they're finding that this contagious form of cancer called devil facial tumor disease has been infecting these animals and is invariably fatal, causing them to breed at a younger age. So what's the solution? By the minions, they're developing a vaccine.
Oh, no, stop.
Yes, for Tasmanian devils on the island of Tasmania in Australia. Even these poor animals are going to be vaccinated, and I'm sure that this virus that they created is the reason they have the problem in the first place.
Without a doubt. If I could go off topic for just one second, there has been, since the 70s, extreme concern about estrogens in the environment causing infertility in men, and that's even the plastic wrap that comes on your meat if you are still not a vegan after listening to these shows. You know, the estrogens, like you're saying, that promote cancer are out there in the environment, pesticides, plastic wraps, et cetera, and that's basically emasculating the men. The other thing that's driving promiscuity and when you go from adolescence to adulthood?
Puberty.
Puberty, thank you. In women is the bovine growth hormone in the milk is a hormone that actually accelerates that age range, and now we've gone from girls becoming women at 13 to girls becoming women at 11, and this is all caused. Yet people are wanting to go to psychologists and psychiatrists to talk about it. This is all caused by your food supply, by your environment, and they know what they're doing.
Yes, they do.
So let's go back, if
okay,
I can.
Okay, wait, before you do that, this brings up another topic.
Sure.
I just got a call from a new client that's going to have her son go through my protocol. He's 16 years old. He's dealing with some minion by the name of Dr. Greer, another mercury disinformer. And she told me that Dr. Greer has her son on aldactone to decrease his testosterone.
Oh.
Now imagine what this is going to do to a young man. So it's between the estrogen in the environment with the plastics and the pesticides, as well as giving drugs to these young men to decrease their testosterone. Imagine where we're going here.
Well, it's exactly what you say. These are weapons of mass destruction and depopulation. I mean, they're emasculating men and sterilizing women. I mean, what other conclusion? See, I live in a logical world. That's the only place I operate. When you see these facts, whether they are dissociated or, if like me, you put a timeline together that spans several thousand years, you see these patterns laid out for you, there is only one conclusion, and that is it, is the total annihilation of the human race.
Exactly.
So, 1950, our beloved Salk, one of the... See, they developed a religion I'm not kidding, a religion around Jenner and Salk. And Salk, with the polio vaccine, he used mineral oil as an adjuvant, but it was causing cancer. And so secretly, he kind of like put that by the wayside. So here again, we've got, by 1950, known causes of cancer, and then the Rockefeller cartel has been instrumental, as Dr. Ott has pointed out to us, in creating all of the cyclotrons, all the particle accelerators, all the particle colliders. And what they had was basically waste left over in the form of a metallic isotope. They didn't know what to do with them, but, you know, everything is money. Even garbage is money to a Satanist. So they said, let's give it to medicine and let's give it to cancer research.
Exactly.
So now we got radiation just flowing through the medical profession, at least by the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I can move on to your topic of the SV40, I just love this. This is almost deflection, like they're only telling a half-truth, so they're not really lying. In 1951, the HELA cell stands for Henrietta Lacks, who happened to be a black woman who had cervical cancer. They secretly harvested her cells, and they used them as what's called an immortal cell line through which to grow the polio virus. So let's just say, and I know this is not true, but let's just say for the sake of argument, that SV40 was not causing the cancer. They're using freaking cancer cells from a black woman's cervix to create the virus for polio inoculation.
Uh-oh.
So that alone would be a vector for cancer.
Yes.
Okay? So it's just lies piled upon lies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to 1970. This freaked me out, and I've been dying to bring this up with you ever since. In 1970, they realized that measles, the actual natural infection, reduced tumors in children with cancer. But we have to have a measles eradication program with vaccines. Now, that almost seems like it's a helpful thing to get a natural disease.
Yeah, because the immune system learns how to work. That's what I've always said. Not only do you get natural immunity to that infection, but your immune system, it's like working out in the gym. Your immune system gets a workout. Exactly. Okay, Patrick, I hear the music. Stay on the line. We'll be right back with more gold from Patrick's data mining. Stay tuned. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is cancer. I have Patrick Jordan on the line, but we have another caller, Alan from Virginia, that has a comment to make. If you could just make it quick, Alan, because Patrick has a lot of more important information to share with us.
Hi, Dr. Carly. First off, thanks for the program. I really do enjoy it, and I will be quick. I just wanted to call because I heard your statement about Dr. Null to the other caller earlier.
Yes.
You know, not that mercury isn't a problem, but I think that he suggests in his documentary, Vaccine Nation, that it's a overactive or an overstimulated immune system causing microhemorrhaging that is the cause of autism and not the mercury.
Okay, well, first of all, that's disinformation as well. That's basically what Dr. Molden suggests, and that's what we're going to address in our vaccine book. It's every toxin in there. I didn't see his Vaccine Nation special, although he asked me to be in it. I wouldn't be in it because of problems I had back with him in 2000 when I was in Long Island. He actually had me tell him about my protocol. He was going to do a documentary on it, and what he did was steal it and then go out there and suggesting different things to autistic people and never mentioning that it was my work. I'm talking about an article that he wrote in Townsend Letter where he's talking about the mercury. I will say it again. I say it all the time. Mercury's bad, doesn't cause autism, okay? So anybody that just highlights the mercury is a disinformer, and if he's talking about hemorrhage now, that's another scam. And I was fooled by Dr. Molden. I even had him on my show. He's talking about strokes in people. It's all of these things. It's demyelination. It's the tissue cultures used to make the vaccines that are causing cancer and are causing autoimmune disease. It's all these things.
Yeah,
so
I
think
believe
fair
that.
Comment. Pardon me?
And everything.
What?
You know, I'm sorry to hear about the issues between you guys. Of course, that happens, you know. But thanks again for the good information, and I will be looking for it wherever I can get it. So
yeah,
you know,
and check out his article in Townsend Letter. I'm not sure when it was published within the last few months, but he talks about mercury and that issue, and that's all he talks about. Okay, Patrick, let's continue.
Okay, I had a point, and I'm ready to make my point, that I was always taught from the 70s forward that there were three things that caused cancer: chemicals, radiation, and virus. And pretty much the timeline is consistent with that. And I created this timeline from multiple sources, multiple references, and they all agree. Chemicals, radiation, virus all lead to cancer. Now let's examine what the medical profession does to treat cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They use chemotherapy, which are chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
They use radiation therapy, which is radiation, and they use a thing called gene therapy, which is fairly new, which utilizes a virus to insert a gene code into your own cells to try to interrupt the process of cancer. So we've got viruses and viruses. Now, this means either one of two things, because I'm Mr. Logic. Either they are medical doctors or they are homeopaths, because they're using the same things to try to cure cancer that they used to make the cancer. And now I am implicating the medical profession as having caused the cancer, because let's examine something. What do we find inside vaccines? We find viruses. We find a whole host of chemicals, not just the mercury, but also aluminum, which I would like to bring up, too, if we have the time. And I do not have the resources to demonstrate whether or not there are radiological contaminations in vaccines, but markers and tracers are used in the production of cell lines.
Well, so, that's a very important point that you're bringing out, and, of course, they're giving radioactive isotopes to many people to study their thyroid glands and their cardiac function.
Exactly.
And things of that nature. So that's obviously a part of the plan. But I just want to mention two things. They're also making cancer vaccines.
Exactly.
I have articles for every kind of cancer you can imagine that they're making a vaccine for, even for these poor Tasmanian devils. And you brought up the word homeopathy, so I just want to point something out very important to the listeners. The principle of homeopathy is that like cures like. But the difference with homeopathy and allopathic medicine is that homeopathy only has the energy of the thing. And that's why the white coats call it quackery, because there's none of the actual substance in it. If you tested it in a laboratory, you'd say, oh, this is water with a little bit of alcohol. That's the difference. Allopathic medicines have the straight substance.
Which I'm glad you brought that out, because then the only logical conclusion is that they are medical doctors, and we call them white coats.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the only logical conclusion that we can draw from that is that they have caused the cancer, and any of their interventions are either to prolong it or make it worse or make you dead.
They are medical devils, and they're managing your disease. They're not curing anything.
If I can bring up aluminum, I would like to elucidate on that, because Dr. Jordan had brought to our attention this astounding article that aluminum, just that metal, just one component, we're not talking any other component in a vaccine, just the aluminum can oxidize what's called the P21 and I believe the P53.
Mm-hmm.
These are suppressor oncogenes. This
yes.
is something that keeps cancer from happening. Once
yes.
those are oxidized, it's like switching on a switch, and all of a sudden the cells go crazy, and that is done with one thing, aluminum, which has been used in vaccines, and these things called antitoxins since 1923.
yes. And let me just say, oncogenes can be good or bad. We have oncogenes in us that are suppressors, like you said, that can be turned off with these toxins, but oncogenes can also be bad, and they're making them. And I just want to bring up that very important book that you found, Immunological Adjuvants and Vaccines, published by NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, Life Sciences, Volume 179, where they talk about these different issues and actually admit, much to my shock, that it was introduced in 1926 before strict control by regulatory authorities was practiced. Whether it would be allowed by regulatory authorities today is far from certain. That's on page six. Isn't that amazing?
That's just, it's beyond my ability to wrap my mind around it.
Yes.
Now, what's their answer to a P21-induced cancer? They make a vaccine for it. I'm speechless. There are no words for what they are doing, what they are capable of doing, what they're willing to do, and what they do next.
Well, as you know, Patrick, they're now making a vaccine for malaria. And when I ordered when I ordered the DVD that Dr. Ott suggested, Silent Killer by PBS on the bird flu vaccine, they also had a DVD about malaria wars, and it talks about the vaccine that they're creating for malaria. Check out the mosquito with a white coat on my website, folks, drcarly.com. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's just unbelievable. I mean, basically, it sounds like they're going to have a vaccine for everything. As we know, they have vaccines now for different addictions. They're going to give you a vaccine for cocaine addiction. I mean, they're coming up with any excuse they can to get you to roll up your sleeve. And what my mission on this earth is, and Patrick has joined me in this mission, is to get you to see that this is not for your benefit, people. It is to kill you and make you very sick before you die and get you to take all their corrupt pharmaceuticals.
And here's how they do it, because I studied con men. I wanted to know why people were so easily manipulated. And here's how a con man begins his con. He tells you a whopper, which means he will tell you the biggest, most outrageous lie that he can possibly think of and still keep a straight face. And if you accept that, he knows he has you. Because anything past that will just be free. It's a downhill ride from there. Now,
as a matter of fact, let me just say, Hitler actually said that.
You stole my fire.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to make a disclaimer for the FBI that monitor this stuff, that anybody that studies Hitler, if you check out any books like Mein Kampf in the library, you're automatically tagged, and they're investigating you, and they're all over you like snake on crap. I discovered the Hitler connection on PBS, so if they want to investigate anybody, investigate PBS. And it was on, actually, Hitler's involvement with the churches in Germany, because when you hear his speeches translated to English, he invoked God. God was on his side. He enlisted the aid of the churches, just like Bush did, and then he took over the country, and everything went to hell, literally. But he studied a book, I can't remember what the name of it, by a Frenchman that basically taught how to manipulate masses psychologically. Okay, so he was in on this, and he, in his inner circles, according to this documentary, basically told his inner circle that he told the biggest lie he could, because if the German people accepted it, then he knew he had them. And this is the same thing I'm making a cross analogy to cancer. If you believe, after what you just heard, that viruses, chemicals, and radiation cause cancer, yet a doctor is saying, come into my office, I will give you viruses, radiation, and chemicals to cure you, then you have just believed the biggest lie possible, and they can tell you anything and do anything to you.
Well, as I like to say, you've entered the Twilight Zone.
Oh, thank you.
And it's not just with cancer, it's with all vaccines, as I always say. The fact that they say that vaccines can protect you is the biggest lie that's ever been told. I mean, that's self-evident.
that it goes beyond saying. I saw a doctor talking just 2 days ago on local TV saying that we don't know what causes cancer, but if you avoid alcohol, it might help. And we have proven that using underarm deodorant does not cause breast cancer, because this was, you know, one of those breast cancer promotional things.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
Aluminum, zirconium, hexachloro gel, or whatever it is that they put in this stuff, aluminum going directly onto the underarms, which, by the way, if you study chemicals, as I have had to, there are certain dermal zones of the body that are highly absorptive.
Yes.
You're going to tell me with a straight face on television that applying aluminum to the body with alcohols and propellants and things that can are nonpolar is not going to get into your skin, not going to get into your lymph system, and not going to cause cancer, when we just outlined that this research shows that aluminum can oxidize that oncogene suppressor.
Okay, I want to mention, wait, let me mention another thing, because this brings it to another subject. Deodorants are bad enough, but what about antiperspirants? What do antiperspirants do? They prevent you from sweating. What does sweating do? It gets rid of the toxins.
Stop.
It never ends, Patrick. There's like the layers of the onion are infinitesimal.
I never considered that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm taking notes, Doc.
Okay. While you're taking notes, we have another caller, Myrna, in North Carolina. Can you be a little quick, Myrna? What are you, comment or question?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Dr. Crawley.
Hi.
Thank you so much for your show. You have given me so much important information. It's made me think about a lot of things and change a lot of the way I look at things, and just in my life in general, just change a lot of the way I live.
You're opening up your eyes. Excellent.
Yes. I have it's just a comment. I work at a major hospital, and this is going on at different hospitals around the country. They are now changing their general consent form that anybody who walks through the hospital signs, and it's now saying that as part of their treatment plan, they will be administering vaccines if they feel that vaccination is going to help whatever they're there for. So they don't even
wait
have
a minute, Myrna. Let me just underline this and put it in large font for the listeners. So you're saying that when people go in the hospital door and sign their informed consent form,
right,
one of the things they're actually giving permission for the white coats to do is give them any vaccines that they deem are good.
Exactly. So they don't even need to have a special consent. Like before, you used to have to provide informed consent for any type of vaccination that you took, like the flu vaccine, the pneumonia vaccine.
Yeah, and a vaccine information statement as well. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing, it says on there that you're giving permission to anybody affiliated with the hospital to administer a vaccine as long as it was appropriate for your treatment. And if you have any question about any vaccine, you need to get that information from your primary doctor.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a very big favor, Myrna. If you will please send me a copy of one of those forms to the address on my website, drcarley.com.
Okay.
I promise you nobody will ever know where I got it from, but I need that puppy.
Okay.
Okay?
I will do that.
Thank you so much for calling in. Patrick, what do you think about that?
I'm sitting here with cold chills, and I am so pleased that she called in, because after I made your association, Dr. Crawley, I went to my clinic and my hospital, and I got, what do they call them, like the living will, you know, the advanced directive.
Uh-huh.
And I put in the advanced directive that if for any reason I am brought unconscious into a hospital, I am to receive no vaccines whatsoever. Because one of the things they do if you're in a car wreck, they assume you've been cut, and they will shoot you with tetanus. And tetanus is one of the things that absolutely destroyed my brain in conjunction with my chemical allergies. It just ruined me.
Well, that's what gave you the allergies, and we're going to take care of that. But, yes, isn't it amazing, Patrick, that they would add that little thing on there? And, of course, this goes along with Dr. Ott's information that the flu vaccine for this year is going to cause the bird flu, and you can be sure they're going to be shooting that into as many people as they can. Now, the idea that they would have that on an informed consent form, because, of course, many people that go into the hospital are going in with infection problems to begin with, not to mention the fact that the superbugs live in the hospital. So the idea that they're going to inject you with yet more viruses, this is totally insane.
I want to pick this up when we come back.
Okay, stay tuned, folks. We'll be back. Hold on. And we're back with What's Ailing America. The answer today is cancer. Patrick, I could go on with you for days. We have another caller on the line, Michael in New York, but if you could just finish up what you wanted to say, and then we'll bring Michael on quickly if we can
to give his
comment or question.
I think this is really important. I'm nitpicking on the words, I believe it was Myrna, that she said the form said that anyone affiliated with the hospital, which could be so broad as to include SWAT teams, National Guard, Army, and NATO troops.
Yes.
If they deem you need a shot, they'll give it to you.
Yes, exactly. And, of course, if you have cancer, no matter what's wrong with you, if they're going to give you more vaccines, it's going to make you sick. So let me just bring in Michael in New York quickly. Michael, do you have a comment or question? Are you there, Michael?
Hello. Hi.
Yes.
Thank you. Your show's great, and I would like to just mention that obviously they're poisoning us with their medicine as well as the disease that one may be suffering from. They're clearly making their own, creating their own, and even promoting the existing one. It's pretty pathetic. And cancer, from my approach, I'm an environmental scientist, and with my approach to cancer, I view the body's natural order, and I've studied it intimately, and the cancer cells are like punk cells, mutating cells that are like rebellious against the natural order, which is occurring at that key interval of time when they're transitioning into a permanent type of cell, and that's all due to toxins, as you're highlighting, and also a very negative mind state due to a lot of stress. That creates it as well.
Thank you for bringing that up. And it's also the fear. Let me just say, Michael, because this is so important. Everybody that I help that has cancer, that I teach how to reverse it, it's always a fear factor that's highly involved because the white coats give them a death sentence. You're going to die in 6 months. You're going to die in whatever. And that fear actually programs their hard drive and makes their immune system shut down even faster. So that's very important. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you. And so, yes, it's critical. The mind, positive mind, and feeling relaxed and calm is key to a healthy physical body.
Yes, it
and
is.
And I've seen 4 cancers, including leukemia, disappear with my herbal approach over a span of 6 months with a lady in her senior years and retired. But she never went through chemo or radiation. She never altered her diet the way I recommended, but she had plenty of formula. And otherwise, her body was never poisoned by the establishment, and the body was able to clean house with no problem.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to get people to realize, is that the last thing you want to do if you have cancer is let the white coats have at you. So thank you very much for calling in, Michael. Patrick, we're almost out of time. Any closing statements, please?
Okay, I'll try to make this quick. Hungarian, Albert Zent Gyorgy, Electronic Biology and Cancer, 1976, he said cancer is an old age disease. He recognized that chemicals and genetic mutations could cause it early on, and another thing that he called chronic inflammation. Now, chronic inflammation is precisely what aluminum and vaccines cause. So his point was, and he's a Nobel Prize winner, I think, for discovery of vitamin C, it's an old age disease. Cancer is not normal. It is caused. That's
exactly
it.
But it's not an old age disease anymore. We have little babies dying of cancer.
Exactly.
And that's largely because of the vaccinations. Well, Patrick, I want to thank you once again for your outstanding contribution to the show.
Thank you.
I encourage all of you listening to refer all of your friends and relatives to listen to the archives. They'll be up later today. And keep on listening, folks. We have to teach people what's really going on. You have to face there is a monster under the bed. Once enough of us shine a light on it, we will get rid of it. God bless you, Patrick, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Doc.
Okay, bye-bye.